So our text is from James. These words, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." It's James 1:19. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our text seems like nothing more than a bit of sage advice, doesn't it? Something that is said and is acknowledged by most to be of importance, something which most everyone can admit would be a good thing to do, no doubt about it. But really, how important can it be? How important for our daily living is this dictum from the Apostle James that we should be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger? Especially in our day and age. For if ever there was a time when each individual within society, each and every individual, has been given the opportunity to speak in response to what is heard and to speak quickly, it's now, right now. Athletes, for example, professional athletes, college athletes, take to the internet right after an important game, disseminating their take as to how the game went, how they played. Singers and actors, authorities on everything, it seems, nowadays, respond to daily events in the news with regularity. Parents in online forums are quick to contact teachers and administrators at a school to address an issue. And then how many of such comments go viral? That is, are seen by millions and millions of people in almost an instant. Hot takes is what they're called. But whether there's any truth to what is said, what is perceived or described or interpreted, it's another thing entirely, isn't it? In fact, oftentimes the desire to respond quickly and with decisiveness, with a few choice words, with the hottest of takes, turns out within the following hours or days or weeks to be the most foolish thing a person has ever done. For so often it's only with time, as the old German proverb puts it, with time that the answer actually does come. That is, so often, even almost always, time is needed for perspective. Time is needed for thought. Time is needed for the weighing of the matter at hand. Time is needed for the consideration of ramifications, for expression. You know, growing up playing baseball, I was taught that when playing in the outfield, first thing that I should do when a ball was hit high in the air, my direction, was not to rush forward to catch it immediately because, well, that is what I would intuitively do in my excitement. Hey, the ball is coming to me. I'm going to get to play. No, the first thing to do when the ball was heading my way, I was taught, was to take a step back. And in taking that step back, my brain would triangulate the trajectory of the ball. I would gain the perspective needed to then move to where the ball was actually headed. Thinking back on that time, I also often heard back then, coming from the mouths of various adults, this expression, "I'd like to give that guy a piece of my mind." But I don't ever remember that happening. And it didn't happen probably because a step back would be taken and wisdom would prevail. And with time, the answer would come. It's a different understanding of what has been experienced, witnessed, seen, heard. That different understanding would emerge. So here we're dealing with this issue, aren't we, with the Eighth Commandment, with telling lies about our neighbor. Slander, destroying reputations, not defending our neighbor, speaking well of him and explaining everything in the kindest ways. Because, well, let's face it, that takes time. It takes time to do that. And who has that? Who has time? Who wants to make that effort? Who wants to strain and strive to put the best construction on a matter? Who wants to take even one step back? Let's just say what we want to say and let the world give us a thumbs up or a thumbs down. But of course, we can't do that. As Christians, we should not do that, for we of all people should know, as we read in the Proverbs, when words are many, transgression is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent. But why is that? Why is that? Well, because our speech is in reality incredibly powerful. Our speech is amazingly meaningful. What we say, even in the simplest of things, so important. Why? What comes out of our mouths reveals what's in our hearts. What comes out of our mouths reveals what's in our hearts. So Jesus, we read in Matthew 15, hear and understand, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles a person. Then the disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? He answered, every plant that my Father, Heavenly Father, has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone, they're blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. But Peter said to him, explain the parable to us. And he said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone. So also in the Epistle of James, then, we read, for we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle his entire body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they're so large and are driven by strong winds, they're guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue. Tongue is a small member. It boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of burst and of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. So James. So what then? What are we saying? Do we have to watch what we say? Well, yes. Yes. Always? Of course. And the need of something beyond our speech itself to free us from the challenge, sin, the evil presented to us so often just by what we say. It's the Holy Spirit who must tame our tongues. The Holy Spirit must tame our tongues, and He does. And the Holy Spirit Himself uses speech to convict us of sin and righteousness and judgment, of sin because we strain to believe in Christ, of righteousness because we cannot visibly see Jesus in these end times, of judgment because the prince of this world, Satan, has been judged, even though it seems like he hasn't. And our Savior, Jesus, now sits at the right hand of God, reigning and ruling, and He does so through His Spirit, which He sends to us. The only way any of this can be believed is if the Holy Spirit is sent to us via speech, via words, talking, and works faith in our hearts. So ours is not a situation in which we scan up and down the radio of our cars, or we scour the internet, or go here or there about the Twin Cities looking for the one pastor who has the smoothest words, the most persuasive arguments, the best logic and reason. No, we content ourselves with the word not of man, but the word of God, the Holy Spirit. Taught and preached and believed in its truth and purity, for the word of God, of all the words out there to be heard today, the word of God does not defile us. It does not defile us. The word of God as it comes out of our mouths is not that wrought with sin, but the word of God is that which proclaims the excellencies of our Lord and Savior and all he's done for us and continues to do for us and will do for us. And unlike the word of man, the word of God, it's certain, it's sure, it's profitable for learning, for reproof, for correction. Our text from James would have us be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Apart from the Word of God, the Bible, whenever we hear this, that, or the other thing, we need to take the time to figure out if what we are being told ultimately is true. And if it is true, then what should our response be? The Luther movie a few years ago, there's a scene in which Frederick the Wise, that's that political leader who kept Luther safe for so long, Frederick was talking about the types of answers that can be given when political requests were made of him. One was no, of course, he could say no. And one was yes, he could say yes. And the third intrigued, for it was nothing. The response was nothing. No answer. No speech. Nothing said. Simply silence. And here Frederick was following the example of Jesus himself as Jesus was being accused of all sorts of crimes before the Sanhedrin. But even before Jesus was arrested and so accused, that time when the woman caught in adultery was brought to him by the Pharisees and teachers wanting to know what should be done. Should she be executed by stoning Jesus? Well, the text in John 8 tells us that the reason the Pharisees and teachers of the law were doing this were to trap Jesus in what he said, so that they could accuse him of a crime, and Jesus knew this. Jesus knew the issue wasn't the law or the woman, for if they cared about the law, they would have brought to him the man caught in adultery as well. But they didn't. The issue is trying to get Jesus to say, simply to say, what he shouldn't say. So what did Jesus do? Well, he bent down and wrote in the dirt with his finger. Jesus was quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. And so when he finally stood up again, he said simply, "Let the one who is without sin cast the first stones." How many times have we not been so wise, have not been so slow to speak, but in speaking quickly have made matters worse, much worse, multiplying sin upon sin upon sin, creating more than a crevice, but a canyon between ourselves and others, when a few moments earlier, before we decided to spout off, there'd only been a tiny little crack. Let us repent for our quick speaking, which so often causes so much destruction. And truly grasping the momentousness of our words, be comforted by the forgiveness which is ours in Jesus Christ, our Savior, who himself was so quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger for us. His Spirit is sent to us through his word to make us just like him, to make us like Jesus, to give us the courage when someone sends something our way and what they are saying and what they have texted us, what they've emailed us, or even just a rumor we've heard about something said. Let us, by the power of the Spirit of God, have the courage and patience at such times to write in the dirt like our Savior, or like I learned growing up playing baseball, to take a step back and, if need be, take another step back, so that we might gain an understanding of what possibly might be said in response. But even more so, to have the courage when it is called for, when we cannot think of anything to say which is not filled with anger and hate and spite and vitriol, let's have the courage to say nothing at all. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the offertory.